Almanac. Each time you visit, we will be telling stories about famous Quakers and infamous ones, too. We'll also tell you about some lesser-known Quakers whose amazing stories we discovered. Some of these Quakers lived long ago, while others are among us right now in our own neighborhood. We'll tell you about Quakers of all sorts who are living in every time zone and working for Quaker concerns in a variety of ways. We'll also include in the Almanac stories about Quaker organizations and the work they do to alleviate suffering, to promote Quaker ideals, and to address injustice in the world. We began our research with a question: how do Quakers live their faith in the past and right now? As we began to write up our research, we wondered, what can we gain from their stories? We hope, as our project moves to its next stage, that you can find in the words and deeds of these friends some wisdom, comfort, and inspiration for your own spiritual journey. Our project has been supported by a Ford Knight grant for student-faculty collaborative research at Earlham College.
This is Abby bringing you the Quaker Word of the Day. Today, I'm going to tell you about Abby Kelly. On this day in Quaker history, January 15, 1811, Abby Kelly was born in Pelham, Massachusetts, to a loving but strict Quaker family. Kelly was educated at the New England Friends Boarding School in Rhode Island, and in 1835, she was a schoolteacher. Kelly became interested in the abolitionist movement after reading pieces written by the prominent abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison in The Liberator. In 1840, Kelly's appointment to the executive board of the American Anti-Slavery Society caused controversy because many could not accept the idea of a woman holding this position. In 1845, Abby Kelly married Stephen Foster, and they lived together in a home which they called Liberty Farms. Liberty Farms was part of the Underground Railroad and was auctioned off by the government several times when Abby and Stephen refused to pay property taxes. When the state auctioned off Liberty Farms, different friends repeatedly purchased the home and returned it to the Fosters. Kelly was known to be a great lecturer and debater and participated in anti-slavery lectures with both Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth. Douglass wrote that she, quote, "perhaps was the most successful of us. Her youth and Quaker beauty, combined with her wonderful earnestness, her large knowledge, and great logical power, bore down all opposition wherever she spoke, though she was pelted with foul eggs and no less foul words from the noisy mobs which attended us," end quote. Kelly spent a lot of time working to convince both Quakers and others to participate in the abolitionist movement. Much of her persuasion was voiced during meeting for worship or through letters she wrote to friends. On January 30, 1848, in a letter, Kelly wrote, quote, "Let us thank God that we have the great happiness of being clothed with sufficient strength for this great purpose, strength to resist the mighty tide which slavery and its kindred enormities bears onward to ruin and devastation. But how beautiful, how sublime, even, is the career of that soul which lives to combat the wrong and to succeed the right," end quote. Kelly's life is a testament to determination. Only when her health was failing did she stop traveling to lecture, but she always continued to preach at the meeting house, as well as hold local events. Abby Kelly died on January 14, 1887, just one day before her 76th birthday.
Thank you for visiting the Quaker Almanac. We hope you'll come back soon. Thanks also to Dan Graves of the Music Department at Earlham College for allowing us to use his arrangement of How Can I Keep From Singing? The West Coast Tour Choir of 1998 sings this particular version. Our project was supported by a Ford Knight grant for student-faculty collaborative research at Earlham College. If you would like to join this project and tell another Quaker story, contact Trish Eckert at the Newland Center for Quaker Thought and Practice, or Mary Garman in the Religion Department.